Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Junkies here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined on the bullpen phone by my pal Chris Zook.
Hello, everybody.
And we fired up the bat signal. We got him on. Sportsnet's own Arash Madani joining us to talk World Baseball Classic and Blue Jays. It's a tradition here to get him on the Bench Junkies. Welcome back, Arash.
Hey, always good to be with you guys. Commissioner Zook looking resplendent, well, as always.
The thing is, it's radio, so it's audio, so they will not see this, thankfully, but
he's definitely got his COVID beard in full effect.
Oh, okay. You better watch out. You better not cry.
Yeah, something.
Commissioner Zook making his list and checking it twice.
Coming to a chimney near you.
Right.
Well done, sir. Well, you, as always, have kind of flown around North America, to say the least, over the first little bit of the new year. But let's go backwards a little bit before we go forward and talk some Jays. But let's talk about this World Baseball Classic. I'll be honest, and I will say I was a little bit skeptical. Hey, what's this about again? You know, we haven't seen it for a bit. I totally bought into it, loved every minute of it. But you were there. You were on the ground. You tweeted a lot about this, but just talk about your perspectives about the atmosphere and the thoughts in general about this year's edition.
Well, I mean, where to begin? Shoot. I mean, maybe we begin at the end.
Yeah.
If you were to put together your dream scenario for how you wanted to see a global competition, a world championship end in baseball. And I said to you, okay, it's going to get to the final day and it's going to be Japan versus USA and Shohei Ohtani's going to come out of the bullpen to pitch the ninth inning against Mike Trout in a one-run game with a world championship hanging in the balance. You're like, hey man, like we're talking reality here. This ain't a Disney movie. And a lot hasn't gone right for baseball for a lot of years, for a long time. It just felt that tournament hit on every chord over and over again, and what a way to finish it.
It was the strongest evidence we have that we are living in the Matrix, though. How well scripted that ended up.
Yeah, no kidding. And also that last pitch from Ohtani. That wasn't human, right? Like, it started at third base, and it ended in the other dugout, and Trout still swung at it.
If Trout can't hit it, I don't think any normal, realistic human being in the world can hit that ball, right? Like, that's your number one and number 1A, kind of in maybe of the best players in baseball right now. I don't think he could have signed that. I mean, the interesting thing, too, I don't know if you saw this afterwards, Arash, but they then asked the question to people like Connor McDavid about the best on best. And, you know, I mean, the one thing is when we, the question I also then I had the other side, it was about sort of the format and when it's played and, you know, would they move it, or the criticism about injuries. But, you know, where do you kind of lie with sort of how this has gone? I think it's now five editions of the World Baseball Classic.
Like, it got to the point, this tournament was such a success that it led to Connor McDavid sharing an opinion. Like, that's, whoa, like, of all the things, like, wow, Connor McDavid spoke out about something, at something, that, you know, hockey's missing its best on best. It felt like the entire sports world was tuned in to the last couple of innings of that ball game. And, like, I just don't understand. So that's one thing. The other is, why is everything a debate? Why is everything...
Gotta have the hot takes.
What things aren't rather than what things are. You know, and like, and this whole thing about general managers and teams saying, oh, we don't want our guys going there and getting injured. How about you're getting your guys to experience something that can only help them in big clutch moments down the road, like pennant races in the postseason?
How about that? And we talked about, me and Michael, as this was happening, right, you know, about the injuries. I mean, Rhys Hoskins got injured for the whole year in spring training. I find this.
Okay, that's it. Stop spring training. Got to put it to an end.
Right. But somehow that equation works in the World Baseball Classic.
You've been around teams and you've been around sports long enough. What do people tell you often? Athletes, coaches, medical people. It's when you're not going 100%. That often leads to an injury. So which way is it? Which way is it? Look, you're telling me that Jose Altuve couldn't have been hit with a pitch on the finger in the spring training game? Oh, God, if that had happened to Rhys Hoskins in the WBC, I think all hell would have broken loose. But it happened in a spring training game, and it's viewed as okay.
Yeah. And just maybe regale us about sort of that atmosphere, because it's sort of you don't have that even at the World Series level.
Yeah, there are very few events in sports like it, in any sport anywhere, and that's what made this thing so cool. Like, for the players, it's one thing to represent club, it's an altogether different dynamic representing country. And the dudes cared, and they were all in on it. And it felt like high school and college for some of them. And they were all willing to do whatever it took. And they were having the time of their lives. And 2 weeks felt like a month. And there was stress. Like, it was everything that's so good about it. And even before the medal rounds, like, I was just in Arizona with Team Canada. But I made the point on my social media and to other people, like, I'm very lucky in what I get to do is I get to go to some different sporting events all over the place. If you're a sports fan and you ever have the means, and especially if you're a baseball fan and you have the means, I would highly, highly, highly recommend putting the World Baseball Classic in 2026 or down the road on your list of things to do, because it's awesome. It's such a great experience, and the fans are chanting. And the drums are out and the music is happening. And there is such a passion that goes so far beyond the job, which is for many in professional baseball what it is. And so there's something unique about representing your country. And for some of these countries, baseball just matters so much.
Can I ask just one question about Canada, right? They played, you know, that very high scoring game against Great Britain, and then they had a chance ish a bit, but they had Freddie Freeman, they had a couple big names on the team, but just talk about sort of what the players of Canada were talking about when you were out there.
Well, from what standpoint, Chris, because there's a lot of layers to what that Team Canada team kind of was. Like, to me, the takeaway is that was a really young team with a bunch of single A, double A pitchers who were just getting a taste of what, like, right into the deep end. Hi, you're 19 years old. Here's Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado. On and on it goes. You're going to go up against this lineup. And it was a real wake-up call. It was a real growing-up experience. But there was also some double-A dudes, triple-A dudes who looked okay. Look, I think Noah Sciro, who's in the Phillies organization, he wasn't intimidated by any of it. He looked strong to me. If there's a player in baseball I'm buying stock in that you have never heard of, it's Edward Julian. He is 23 years old. He's from Quebec City. Hit double-A with the Twins last year. And this dude has it. Like when Paul Pierce showed up here with the Brooklyn Nets and hit a game-winning shot in the playoffs to beat the Raptors, he said, I just have it. You can't buy it at CVS. You can't buy it at Walgreens. Julian acts the part, plays the part, has the bat. And he spent a lot of time kind of watching, observing, chatting with Tyler O'Neill and Freddie Freeman of what it takes to be a pro and how to go about it. Look, if Canada brings everybody in 26, it's a big if. I think they're right there in the conversation of getting into the quarterfinals and maybe even the semis. But who knows how this is all going to go based on contracts and injuries and situation. I just saw some young dudes for Team Canada, especially on the pitching side, touching 96, Curtis Taylor. I'm like, okay. So I thought it, you know, the two wins, that's kind of what they were capable of, what they were. They hung around with Mexico at the end in a winner goes on game, and 3-2 in the fifth inning, and then Randy Arozarena did Randy Arozarena things against double-A pitching, and what else did you expect was going to happen?
The interesting thing about that is that I thought Canada did very well in regards to what they had in that lineup, and it's just all experience for next year, right? I mean, they're just going to be that much better.
Yes, and we'll see what happens 3 years from now, right? Like, it's such a long way to go until then. I was just, you know, for instance, you could have three Naylor brothers on the team in 26. Cal Quantrill in 26 is going to be a free agent. You know, could you have Jameson Taillon? Could you have Nick Pivetta? Could you have some players we don't even know about yet who are willing or who are ready to make that step at that point? A lot of unknowns at this point about what lies ahead.
I think Michael's going to be happy. He's a big Twinkies fan, so he likes.
Oh yeah, I'm very happy to hear about someone showing themselves really well at a young age in the Twins.
Carlos Correa is a big fan of this kid too. Like, and we asked Ernie Witt. I asked him. I said, you know, Ernie is the manager of Team Canada, for those who didn't know. I said, what's this guy's ceiling? And he said, to be a Major League All-Star. I'm like, oh, okay. That's what you think. Huh? Okay, good to know.
Yeah, Ernie Witt, as we had mentioned, the only manager to skip for every World Baseball Classic, right? I think he's the only one who's been there for every World Baseball Classic. Speaking of former Jays, well, I guess we'll transition to existing Jays. Season's about to start here. You've covered the team for ages. What's is there a more positive vibe this year than last year? Like, do you feel that the talk around the camp is about where it was last year, or like is there like an improved feeling about this entering this season?
Yeah, I haven't been at camp. I would say this, that I believe that from a 1-2 punch standpoint, this is the best the Blue Jays have had since Halliday and Burnett with Manoah and Gausman. You know, Gausman's number two in the rotation. Okay? So let me tell you about the number two guy in the rotation. Not the start, not number one, not the opening day starter. Led the American League in FIP last year and believes he can be better. Led the American League in FIP while basically having a busted up ankle for a couple of months in the summer. Not that spring matters too much. Did not give up an earned run all of spring. And remember, guys, this is an American League baseball schedule that's a little more balanced now. So it's fewer games against the American League East. It's less against Aaron Judge and the Yankees. So that means less familiarity for hitters going up against Gausman's splitter. And there's an argument to be made. Look, Manoah's the guy, and he is everything. He's pass rusher, conductor, maestro, face of the franchise, bouncer, ace, all of it. But there's also an argument to be made that Gausman's the best pitcher on the staff. Best pitcher on the staff of a championship contending club. So I just look at 1-2, and I'm saying to myself, okay, well, That's a heck of a way to kind of kick this thing off. So I just look at their pitching right now, and I know you say Kikuchi is the lightning rod. I get it. I just don't think it's as much of an issue anymore because I think they have a little more depth than they did last year with starting arms that can help them when injuries hit, if somebody struggles, etc.
What about Jose Berrios? Is he going to bounce back, you think, this year?
No idea. So hard to know. You go by track record. He had made the point that there were some things going on away from the field last year, suggested maybe that affected him. But I think if you look at some of his last starts in spring, one Pete Walker kind of washed away and said it was a totally different thing. But like when he got back from the WBC, he started pitching a little bit better. He struggled for Puerto Rico there. So it's really hard to know because it felt like it was like a couple of good starts and then two or three not so good starts. And like the erraticness. I don't know. I think he should be fine, but I really don't know.
Well, being like you said, Gausman and Manoah, the 1 and 2, you expect a little fluctuation, a little up and down from the lower arms in your rotation, right? Like that's where the variance happens. You don't want that at a 1 and 2. You don't want a roller coaster ride at the top of the rotation, but you kind of expect that, 3, 4, 5 might have some struggles. They're not going to be electric every time they go out. Otherwise they'd be a 1 and 2.
Yeah, but
that squad or somewhere else.
I don't know if there's a staff in baseball anywhere that's complete 1 through 5.
No.
Like there is such a lack of supply of quality starting pitching across baseball. Who won the World Series last year? The Astros. How many legit starters do they have coming back this year? How many legit starters do the Yankees have?
Oh, yeah, fewer now with injuries too, right? Like that's...
Yeah, and Tyon's gone to what, the Cubs or something? So,
you were saying...
It's not about 1 through 5. To me, the most important thing about starting pitching in today's major leagues is having competent starting pitching with 6, 7, and 8 waiting for you in Buffalo. That if somebody gets hurt, if somebody struggles, if somebody's going through something, that you're not going to fully fall off the cliff when the next man up is called.
So Arash, you were talking about, this is the strongest sort of start of the pitching staff for a while for the Jays. I mean, I know you always love this question, but I always give it to you anyways, right? Is this kind of World Series a bust for this? Is their window closing, or is it just sort of, they're in the kind of the middle of this window where they have a chance, it's competitive AL East again. But where do the Jays kind of fit in this mix for 2023?
I don't think the window closes after this year because, Bichette's under contract for 3 years and Vlad doesn't hit free agency for another couple of years and Manoah doesn't hit free agency for a while, et cetera. You have your dudes under contract with Springer, if Varsho is going to be it, et cetera, and you're pitching. But I think the window is now, and now being this year and next kind of thing. So this is the real time where the franchise is in terms of its structure, because everything changes when it comes time to have to pay dues. And now granted, Springer's up when it comes time to pay Manoa. I haven't studied it enough to see where the pitching is when, you know, but the big one's Vlad, right? And what does that number start with? Does it start with a three? Does it start with a four? Probably starts with a three. What happens then? So go do it now.
So
plus, go ahead. You've got Baltimore's great, you know, development pipe coming and some expectations about that team getting better. And so I think the AL East getting even more contentious in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it with Baltimore.
Okay.
That might be true. Hey, Arash, before we go here, because I know you're a busy man and we appreciate your time as always. Have you seen you're part of the media, right? Have you seen the phase one renovations of Rogers Center?
I have not yet.
Have you heard any inklings from colleagues or anyone who
got there? I mean, I've seen the pictures and the things that have been shared.
I mean, can it only help the experience? Because let's just be honest. I've gone to most ballparks. You've gone to most ballparks. Michael's gone to a lot of ballparks. It's not a great experience before. Am I right about that?
This is the closest thing to Toronto having a ballpark ever. You know, like, I never got to Exhibition Stadium. Everything I heard about Exhibition Stadium, that, you know, and I mean, granted, that was a different era. I don't think this will ever, it ever can be a true ballpark. The next stadium is going to have to be. Whenever that and however that gets made. But there are a lot of things that are going to be happening there that are going to make it feel more intimate and feel more ballpark-ish, which is great. And I think one of the smart things that they've done is more congregating areas. It's not just about sitting in the seat, beer gardens and open areas for people to get together. And that's what today's baseball experience is when it comes to going to the stadium. It's not watching the game. It's not being at your seat. It's see and be seen. So that's what a lot of this sounds like it's going to be.
Mind you, it'll be good because you don't have to be there 4 hours now with the pitch clock. Possibly.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this all shakes down.
Will you be on the beat a little bit this year? Do you know sort of will you?
No, it's going to be Hazel and Arden this year. I'm in more of a generalist role. I'll be doing a little bit of a bunch of different sports. I did Canada-Honduras soccer last night. I'll be doing the Billie Jean King Cup tennis. So I did the baseball with the WBC, but in terms of Jays, I won't be doing it.
Oh, well, fair. Well, until they get really, like, when they go on a 20-game win streak, and then they'll have to call the beacon for Arash to come on and do his stories,
something
right?
Something.
I have two rapid fires before we go on here. If people have listened in the past, they know you and me are kind of diehard Vikings fans, good or bad. How are you feeling about the Rogers watch and what's going on there and the other team that's in that division?
Well, the one thing about Aaron Rodgers I would just say is that the last 2 years have just been full validation of everything I ever believed him to be and what he is. And coming off the worst season football-wise of his career, what a pity. What a shame.
Yeah, it is. I will say this, if he actually does get to the Jets this year, you know the next step would be the year after he goes to the Vikings.
God help us.
Follows Barb.
No.
Hey, and you used to be out here in Winnipeg many, many moons ago. You ever got to a Goldeyes game when you were out here?
I did. I got out to one Goldeyes game.
Well, there you go. Well, we would welcome you back in open arms if you ever get around these neck of the woods again. Mike, you got anything you'll have?
There was a renovation at our ballpark, oh, yeah. And there was a beer garden just like.
You can get a beer. You can get you can get beer in a beer bat now. You can, but it's like whatever it's called. It's a huge plastic bat.
Are you actually offering to get off your wallet, Mr. Zook, and buy me a cold one? Is that what that was? Was that an offer?
Yes, that is a standing offer. And the next time we see each other, yes, I will put this
out into the universe. Frozen over. Chris Zook is buying.
Now, again, we probably won't see.
It's been cold temperature since 1899.
We won't see you for another 10 years. But whenever the next time we are in the same universe together, it is on me. The first round.
Looking forward to it.
the first baseball bat.
That's right.
Wonderful. Well, Arash, thanks for taking some time and sharing your thoughts with us. Always a pleasure.
Nice, boys.
Thank you, Arash.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Take care.
Strike three, you're out.